Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach Arskadden coming to you live from North Carolina. And today we have quite a few things to get into, but we want to first start out in our study of Scripture and looking at the dew as gaining the favor of the Lord. As we're reading through Scripture and understanding, possessing our inheritance. And we want to look today in Proverbs 19, verse 12, and I'll pull this up here. It says, "The king's wrath is like the roaring of a lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass." And so when we see that, we want to look at both sides of what this means, both his wrath and his favor. And ultimately, we want to look at some of the things that favor like represents. It ultimately means pleasure, desire, to like, to be pleased with, or favorable towards something or someone. And ultimately, when God is pleased with us, his favor rests upon us. If you've ever heard John West say it, he says, "Favor ain't fair." And sometimes when you have the favor of the Lord, there's a blessing upon you that to others may seem unfair, but in reality is as you walk in that relationship, he graces us with his glory to walk out in favor where others may not. A clarity of mind could be one of those aspects and fruits of that, fruit of the Spirit of peace. And so when we respond to the sovereign hand of God, he begins to drop down on us his favor, and ultimately his favor can cause us to accomplish things on the earth and give us access to places that we do not previously have access to. And then the opposite of favor, in the wrath, and is a better way of putting it, is the Lord's reproach, which means to find fault. And you'll see this in the opposite. Those spirits operating the opposite of a reproach, a fault finding, a blaming, criticizing, disapproving. And there's a difference between correction and criticism. So it's a fine line there. And then ultimately, as God's favor comes on us, he removes that condemnation, that judgment, that failure from the past, and allowing us to be able to not be a reproach to him. And ultimately, we exchange that disapproval for the favor. And in this season, right now, God is raising up obedient people that are interacting and responding to the heart of the Father. And ultimately, as we obey him in faith, sometimes I'm walking that out in my life. The Scripture says, "For without faith is it impossible to please God and allow his favor to come upon us." We will begin to feel that favor dropping like dew from heaven, as the verse says there. His favor is like dew from heaven. So as we see this of our study in possessing our inheritance, as we gain this favor of the Lord, it allows us to possess the inheritance that the Lord has us, and not by anything upon our own self, but by the grace and walking out in faith, the grace and favor of the Lord. And so as we see that today, let's use that as an example as we go into this weekend of standing and praying for not only this nation, but the office of the president, as we pray that the Holy Spirit come into this White House, come into this administration to be able to stand for the purpose, the sovereign purpose that the Lord has for this nation. Okay. With that being said, with that foundation being laid, we want to look at, I want to make sure I have the right thing up. Okay, here we go. Want to look at some things that are happening in the world today. Some sad news that kind of came out this morning, really last night, is that in Japan, former Prime Minister Shinzo Abe was assassinated while on a campaign giving a speech in Japan. Now, the interesting thing there, and you're going to see this from a lot of gun groups, is, oh yeah, just because, you know, guns are banned means that, you know, it's not the gun, it's the people. And that is very, very true. That is part of the problem. But you're going to see this also, and this is the key point to understand. This is where we need to be sober, is that, you know, Japan is a gun-free nation. Pause, time out. That is not the case. Japan is a free handgun nation, but people can still have hunting rifles, and that's ultimately what looks like, from my understanding of what happened here, is the gentleman who got caught, who just didn't like him, sadly used a rifle to take out the former prime minister, because people can still get rifles. It is very hard. It costs a lot of money. The government is very involved. There are many loopholes you have to jump through. It takes a very, very, very long time. But Japan is not a completely gun-free nation. So to be intellectually honest, we need to understand the awareness of that. And the only reason I know that is because of my brother who lives there, who studied it, looked at it, because I've talked to him about that several years ago. So let's you know, be a prayer for his family. He's not in power. And from my understanding, he wasn't looking to get back. He was just on the campaign trail for the next prime minister. In the current prime minister of Japan, he even came out and said this is a horrific act. And this is just sad to see. But this is also a warning that, and a reminder more so, the prophetic that we have, that even as, you know, President Trump and his family are out of office, that the enemy might want to take him out. And Shinzo Abe, well, not a perfect leader and a perfect man, did do a lot of things that benefited Japan and relations between Japan and Israel, and Japan and the United States and Israel. There were some very good fruits that came out of his leadership time as one of the longest standing prime ministers of Japan since World War II. And so we just need to be sober and aware about those type of things. Now, as far as domestically, some things that have popped up and I think that are quite interesting to pay attention to, and people are upset about some of this and wish things would have gone a little further here in this situation, is that in Texas, Governor Greg Abbott has ordered Texas authorities to arrest illegal migrants and return them to a border. It's similar to if they catch them, like a catch and release type situation. There could be some problems about that. Some people are upset. Some groups are upset that he is not declaring an invasion, as some of the border counties have done, not holding them. But he's limited on the authority that he has to be able to do. And so he's doing what he can for the time being, because at the end of the day, this still is somewhat a federal issue. And obviously with how the Biden administration is handling this issue, and more so not handling it, continue to pray for leaders, continue to pray for those within the White House, outside the White House, for this issue, and ultimately repent for the Biden administration's actions to weaken our border security, and intercede for a voice with the fear of the Lord to arise in the White House to speak up. To at least say something to those within the administration as it's getting worse and worse and worse. And even Mike Johnson, you know, we played the clip the other day, calling out Department of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas to his face and saying, look, you're either incompetent or you're doing this intentionally. Like, which one is it? And being very bold and saying, look, there's security measures at risk here. And Clay Higgins, representative from South Louisiana, he's the one who we mentioned who pointed out the statistics of the numbers that are extraordinarily higher than anything the government thinks that there is, as he used to work on the border and knows Border Patrol agents and knows more of a first-hand basis what's really going on there. And it is more alarming than we can ever realize, that it's not being reported by the media, conservative or liberal, doesn't matter, that I think we need to be aware of and really understand the need to pray for this season and the next. And the big news that came out this morning from the Biden administration, it's kind of breaking news a little bit, is that Biden has set in order steps to increase efforts to protect, quote unquote, protect access to reproductive care. And I'm going to read a little bit about this from the Wall Street Journal. They kind of summarized it pretty well. And then I'm going to look at some of the statements that are on the White House's website. And the article from the Wall Street Journal reads as, quote, President Biden is expected to sign an executive order directing agencies to take steps to protect access to reproductive health care and the privacy of patients seeking those services following the Supreme Court decision overturning Roe v. Wade. Friday's order is expected to direct Secretary of Health and Human Services Xavier Becerra to submit a report within 30 days of additional action the agency can take to protect and expand access to contraceptives and abortions, including an abortion pill approved by the FDA, the White House said. Continuing on, the executive order also is expected, this is huge, to call on HHS to launch a public education campaign on access to reproductive health services. It also seeks to provide to bring together pro bono lawyers and public interest organizations to represent patients and abortion providers on issues such as helping women travel out of state to get an abortion. Federally funded dollars for that. Meanwhile, add that. In closing, the White House said Mr. Biden will ask, again, why are we not calling him President Biden? I get this. This is something that just triggers me. I do not agree or stand for a lot of things that the president himself gets for. I don't care how he got in office. He is the sitting United States president, and we need to show honor to that office. I digress there. But this is what the article says from the Wall Street Journal. We'll ask the Federal Trade Commission to consider, president will ask the Federal Trade Commission to consider measures to protect the privacy of those seeking information about reproductive health care services. The order will also direct HHS and the White House Gender Policy Council to create a task force that would coordinate interagency efforts on the issues that they're just going over. Again, that one where AG Merrick Garland is devoting his efforts toward somehow protecting abortion rights. And so we want to go through this a little bit deeper and look at the statement made from the White House. Let me actually blow this up. This is straight from the White House. You can see the fact sheet that was released just this morning. And part of the really four parts here, as you can see, is the whole statement fact sheet goes out to break down into this. Safeguarding access to reproductive health care services. That's a state's issue, number one. And this is a complete overreach from the executive branch, including abortion and contraceptives, which it's still a state's issue. Protecting the privacy of patients and their access to accurate information. So this is a two-parter. So you have the protecting the privacy of patients. That's HIPAA. That's already taken care of. They want this now to include reproductive rights, but it still falls within a medical procedure and it falls under HIPAA. So this just reeks of corruption at its finest, funding going here and there, and certain people getting paid. Very, very, very sketchy, to say the least. And ultimately, their access to accurate information. And what they mean here is that if a mother, family, whatever the case may be, goes to a care pregnancy center, that the information that they receive there, they consider that to be inaccurate, which what they will show and try. People like Elizabeth Warren, who are pro-abortion, who say the information they're getting there is not accurate because the baby, human being inside of a mother's womb, is still a fetus. It has no feelings. It has no, et cetera. And they will say, and this is where those who are for life need to, the humanity and the morality of this, of come at it at this, is say, look, are you okay with having a baby being ripped? And this, I'm being very brutal, but this is the reality of the situation. Is, are you okay with the baby who can feel the pain of having them rip from limb to limb? And in some cases being born and then that happening. You're okay. They're calling that inaccurate. They're saying that the baby cannot feel that pain, that it's okay. They're saying that because care pregnancy centers inform them that the baby has a heartbeat, that the baby can move around, that the baby can feel pain, that that's inaccurate. And I pause because the lack of humanity involved And this directive, executive order from the White House himself. And somebody asked the question of, can Biden do this? Legally, he can try to do this. And the question is anybody going to push back? Is anybody going to stand up and say, no, you don't have the authority to do this? This is what Dodds was about. It proved that the state had the final say on this, and the federal government has no say in this. And at the beginning of this statement, the fact sheet, they do acknowledge that ultimately, at the end of the day, Congress needs to codify this, and really Congress and Senate have to codify this into making abortion a law if it wanted to have these things be in place. But it doesn't, and so this is what they're going to do instead. The next is providing the safety and security of patients, providers, and clinics where they're able to do it. And then ultimately coordinating the implementation of federal efforts to protect reproductive rights and access to health care. The mailing of contraceptives, some things that are just like, that has nothing to do with this. And then also the FDA approved day after pill. They want to continue to allow that. States like Louisiana have basically banned that, saying that pharmacies who send those pills out can be sued and will be sued. And also the other thing about their access to accurate information. This is the big thing you're seeing, is that they're saying that miscarriages and other pregnancies that end before the baby comes out of their mother's womb being viable, basically if the baby dies in the womb for whatever reason, that is considered abortion. And the procedure of, if the mother is not able to pass the baby, that removing the baby after it has already died on its own within the mother's womb for whatever reason, and we had that happen in one of our pregnancies a couple years ago, they're saying that that is, and they're trying to convince women and Christian women more so, that that is an abortion, and that's why we need to have health care and quote-unquote abortion to allow for those procedures to be done, even though that is not the case. Even Planned Parenthood themselves says an abortion is an actual termination of the pregnancy. That is not a termination of the pregnancy. So this is very, very alarming, and we want to, as this goes into effect, as the White House and the administration do this, we want to repent for the administration's actions on this. We have to continually do this as they continue to take steps to continue to stand for this child sacrifice's murder. And there is grace for those who have gone through this procedure through repentance and the covering and forgiveness from God, and ultimately want to intercede for the veil to be removed from the church's eyes to have the fear of the Lord on this issue. Because if we struggle within the church to have the fear of the Lord on this issue, why and how can we expect the world to act in a humane way if the church itself won't? You're seeing more pastors come out and preach about how supposedly scripture backs up the right for an abortion, which is just utterly just disastrous to see from the church, and very, very, very sad. Okay. I digress, and I want to shift to some economic news. You had some numbers come out for May on hiring demands, jobless claims, etc., and I'm going to kind of just give the lay of the land here. This is the best thing to do. So you're seeing that hiring demand is remaining strong, meaning that there is a demand from companies to still hire. There's 11.3 million, 3 million job openings in May, and at the same time, you have this huge demand of companies wanting to hire. Some are starting to pause in June, so this data is kind of lagging here. But then you're also seeing in the week ending in July 2nd that 235,000 unemployment benefits have increased applying for that, which is ultimately a gain of 4,000 from the previous period. You're seeing the import-export deficit from the United States in trade decline, really $1.2 billion from May to April, April to May, and which is partly due to China and people kind of understanding that there's a recession coming, so they're not spending as much in certain areas. And then you also have companies announcing layoffs, which is quite interesting as you're seeing demand kind of increase. Now, you're also seeing the fact of you have some layoffs, but then you also have 372,000 jobs added in June. And what's interesting about this is, so we're seeing, and I want to point this out because this is very, very huge, is, you know, and the reason I'm saying this is because you saw the press secretary come out, the economy's stronger than ever. You know, even though inflation's high, that's a good thing. Economies are stronger than ever. But we have to understand is the labor force participation rate is not even at pre-pandemic levels still. We're still trying to gain back the amount of people who actually, number one, participated in the labor force, but then those who had a job. So when you have a labor force participation rate still lower, still down from the 63.4% in February 2020, where it currently sits at 62.3%. So it's about 1%, 1.1% basis points lower. And that's a half a million jobs, half a million people. Half a million people who are not even participating in the labor force. That's those who are seeking unemployment, et cetera, have left the market in and of itself. So when they say this is a great economy, this is thriving, we've never seen it better, that's just statistically, factually, that is not true. And she tried to say, well, that's what the facts are. They show us this. I'm sorry, that's not. And I say this to say is have an understanding and be aware of the times and seasons. And you're also seeing something that's been kind of interesting to see is that gas prices have fallen down. Now, they're trying to say that this is Biden doing this. But there's two key factors here is, number one, OPEC's supply increase, slow increase that they've talked about several months ago is finally starting to catch up. Number two is demand. And this is really huge, is demand over the last several weeks and over the summer has decreased as people are realizing that we're inching closer to inflation and costs are just too high for people to drive across country, take vacations that they normally would. And so this is partly due to why you have inflation increasing and demand decreasing. So companies are, yes, gas stations are going to lower their costs overall. And it's like 7% year-to-year decrease. Meanwhile, 13% since pre-pandemic levels, and it's decreased. So overall demand in and of itself for gasoline is starting to decrease as supply from OPEC, not even America, from OPEC is starting to increase and hit the markets in the United States and around the world. But it is still not where it needs to be here in America domestically, as American oil and gas rigs are hitting its height of supply based upon the dynamics and framing of what the administration will let. But we'll really see what happens later in the fall and later in July, as gas prices tend to go higher as demand goes higher. So we'll see what happens there. Something to just pay attention to, be aware of as well, and understanding what's happening. And then kind of an update on the Georgia Guidestone issue is we're starting to see now some people come out and give quote-unquote prophetic words. I'm not going to say they're not hearing the Lord. I would just be very cautious because it's kind of a Monday morning quarterback situation to where we're seeing now people are talking about it, that it's in the media. This would borderline, if not cross the line of being a media prophet, of waiting. And I'm not sitting here being a prophet. If you heard me yesterday, is be very cautious, because if this were done illegally in this natural and in the spiritual, which it kind of looks like it is, as there's now video evidence of a car peeling out after an explosion happening, and there's video evidence of the explosion from the Georgia Bureau of Investigations, that it kind of looks like somebody did light off an explosive. They're still investigating. I mean, there's also the possibility that it could have been lightning. Some type of explosion happened. Doesn't know if it's an act of God or somebody igniting something. But there is a car peeling out after the fact, and that is quite alarming. Now, one thing that is very interesting, this is from the Gateway Pundit, is that there's a gentleman by the name of Leo Homan who talks about he's been to this site and there are cameras everywhere. But what you're seeing from the Georgia Bureau of Investigation is they're asking for anybody who has seen anything to phone in, but yet there are cameras all around. And he's asking the question, this gentleman is asking, why, if there are cameras there, are they asking for help? I thought they had all the security they needed to be able to capture this. And there's video evidence of the car. There's video evidence of the actual explosion itself from one angle. So I just be cautious on some of the prophetic that's out there. A lot of it is number matching and trying to force something where there's not. And in reality, we need to pray that this was not done illegally. And just this is one of those things where you have to sit back and be sober about the situation. No matter if the outcome of it is good or bad. And the natural, you know, people, oh yeah, it's gone. Woohoo, the New World Order thing, it's destroyed. But if it's, again, we talked about it yesterday, if it's done illegally in the natural, same applies for the spiritual. Natural reveals the spiritual. And it only reinforces the spiritual authority that this agenda would have here in this nation and around the world if it was done illegal, because then the enemy can go to the courts of heaven and say, look, I had this, it was here, however it got put up, you destroyed it without the authority, without the proper legal authority. And the same would apply in a natural case. Is if you went to a place of business and destroyed it, you committed a criminal act. You were therefore, even if it is a abortion clinic or whatever, if that were done, the same applies in the spiritual as it would in the natural. And so we need to be very cautious about some of these things we're reading and hearing, and understand we're going to need to repent if this was done illegally. And we'll have more information on that as things come about, because this will have some significant consequences if we're not careful about that. And then last thing, I've been trying to get to this week, but there are 7 close elections in the House and that will ultimately decide the House that I think we need to be aware of as we go towards the midterms later this year. And I want to bring this up. This is from The Hill. This is actually quite a good analysis here of understanding the battles within the voting bloc coming up. To ultimately determine who will gain majority of the lower chamber. So the first one is, and there's actually 2 in Virginia. Virginia's 2nd congressional district, as the battle will be between Jen Kiggins and State Senator Jen Kiggins and Representative Elaine Laura. So that's the battle there in the Norfolk region. And then you also have going down to the Virginia's 7th congressional district, a battle there that will determine the outcome, could possibly determine the outcome of the House. I just want to go through these and highlight which voting blocks they will be. You have Nevada's 3rd congressional district, you have a tight race there. And from a Trump-backed candidate and a Biden-backed candidate. And then Texas 28th congressional district, which is, I'm trying to see, a very contentious and kind of in the Houston region area. A former staffer of Ted Cruz will be running there. You have Pennsylvania's 17th congressional district that could be very, very interesting to see there. And then lastly, you have Ohio's 13th congressional district that will be introduced to see who fills out there. Oh, no, the last one is actually Oregon's 5th congressional district. So these 7 districts will kind of play a key role, especially in the Norfolk region of Virginia. That one's up for contention because if you saw what happened with the governor's race, the gubernatorial race with Governor Glenn Youngkin, the parents issue there, and the reason I point these out is because polling both on the right and on the left show the margins could possibly swing either way, and that's the key point there. So if you live in these districts, if you know people live in these districts, pray for them, reach out to them, see how they understand, see if they're registered to vote, get them, you know, to stand up for the freedom that they have here in America to be able to voice the authority and the natural that the Lord has allowed and our foundation allows. And so through that, we want to close out and just continue to intercede for our leaders, both Republican and Democrat, to have the fear and wisdom of the Lord when deciding what to do next, whether they be incumbents running their case again, their elections again, or new politicians stepping into office for the first time, in order that they support the original intent of this nation, which is to stand up for freedom and allow the gospel of the kingdom to be spread, not only here in this nation, but around the world. So blessings. Thank you guys for following along with me today. I know it was a lot. We'll be back here today with the noon prayer, and then hopefully you guys can have a good weekend, rest up, rejuvenate, spend some time with friends and family, and be back energized, ready to continue to stand praying for this nation and the office of the president. Blessings. Later. Have a good one.